Welcome to episode 346 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. This month, we are exploring the role of women in God's Word and celebrating the female voices of the past who have paved the way for women to enjoy a fuller life with which to serve the Lord. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Both male and female are created in the image of God. As such, there are characteristics associated with both the masculine and the feminine that reflect who God is. In Isaiah 42 verse 14, God declares, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant." Other versions say, "like a woman who's having a baby," or "a woman in childbirth." In this text and the verses that follow, God is portrayed as a woman getting ready to birth a new reality. One characterized by light instead of darkness, and smooth paths instead of rough ones. The imagery focuses on the intense, gut-wrenching pain of the woman in labor. Dr. Lauren Winner remarks that this text was written in the wake of the catastrophe of the Babylonian exile, and the text aims to assure the exiled people that God has not abandoned them, but is laboring for them. She goes on to explain, "Isaiah gives us this groaning woman as a picture of the sovereign God, the God who is in control of redemption. God chooses to participate in the work of new creation with bellowing and panting. God chooses a participation that does not fight the pain, but that works from inside the pain. A man might watch a child being born from the sidelines. Perhaps he holds the hand of the mother. Perhaps he speaks reassuring, encouraging words. Perhaps he models how to breathe. But he's essentially a bystander. A mother is a full participant in the process." When similar metaphors of a laboring woman are used elsewhere in the Old Testament, the emphasis is on trembling, writhing, crying, panting, or gasping, painting a picture of the extreme anguish of the times. In Isaiah 42 verse 17, the anguishing times and the agony of God have to do with Judah's exile to Babylon. But the overall tone is certainly one of salvation and restoration brought about by a laboring God through his servant. Isaiah 42 verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Clearly, this reference to a spirit-empowered, justice-bringing servant is to Jesus. How committed is God to Israel? How much does God love them? What will God do to bring about their restoration and salvation? The answers to these questions are in part found in the simile of a laboring woman who sacrifices her own body, laboring with much pain at great cost to herself to deliver her child. The agony, self-sacrifice, and love demonstrated by God for Israel is like that of a woman undergoing the travails of childbirth. And the writhing, panting, laboring Jesus on the cross is the fulfillment of the redemption of God. Jesus, as a redeemer in the New Testament, is rooted in the mothering imagery of God in the Old Testament. Jesus' ministry of comfort and compassion in the Gospels fulfills the mother God imagery of Isaiah 66, verses 12 to 13. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knee. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Some versions say, "as a mother comforts a child." God's care for Israel can be seen through how God comforts, nourishes, carries, and brings peace to her, just like a mother does for her child. Does Jesus offer comfort and compassion? Yes. Think about the comforting presence of Jesus and the healing of Jairus' daughter. By the time Jesus gets to the home of the synagogue leader, his sick daughter has died. And there are mourners in full throat, causing a scene of anguish. Jesus expels the mourners and brings the parents into the room of the dead child and reassures them before raising the child back to life. Think about the comforting presence of Jesus in the healing of a woman with an issue of blood. After hemorrhaging for 12 years and having no success getting help from human physicians, she's desperate. Her situation was a cause for embarrassment, and worse still, she was considered unclean by those around her. She tried to surreptitiously gain access to Jesus' power. But Jesus does not just heal her, he restores her and publicly affirms her for her faith. Does Jesus bring peace? Yes. In Mark 4, verse 39, he quiets the storm. In John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Does Jesus act like a mother toward her children, bouncing them on her knee and delighting in them? Yes. In Matthew 19, verse 14, he welcomes the children to himself. Jesus' self-presentation as a mother hen is uniquely feminine. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus stands over Jerusalem and weeps, saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The agony and sorrow that Jesus expressed was at his own people's rejection of him as a Messiah. Jesus feels distressed and worried like a mother hen clucking around trying to gather her chicks, only to have them run away and be left vulnerable. A hen gathers her chicks for protection when a threat is imminent. She clucks and her chicks hear her voice and huddle under her wings for protection. The Jewish leaders and scribes of Jesus' time were like chicks who did not heed the clucks of mother hen Jesus and did not accept the salvation provided for them in the Messiah. In fact, Jesus' point was that the self-righteous, politically minded Jewish elite had a history of rejecting and killing prophets of God. Now that the fulfillment of those prophecies, the Messiah, had come to them, like a mother offering salvation under her wings, they ran away. As Jesus stands over Jerusalem and uses the image of a mother hen with a protective wing offered to her chicks, we are reminded of the protective wings of God in the Old Testament. Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." In Psalm 36, verse 7, we also read, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." In both the Old and New Testament, we see feminine imagery used to describe the love, care, and intervention of God in our lives. Just as God created men and women to complete each other, similarly we have a deeper understanding of who God is by understanding the important characteristics and contributions of both males and females. Father, thank you for teaching us that your love and the comfort that you offer is like that of a mother for a child. Help us, whether we are male or female, to reflect that in our relationships with each other. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.